This episode of The Breakfast Dish is brought to you by PodPower. With PodPower, our sponsors are making it possible for us to amplify the voices of Albertans and Alberta podcasters like Mum and I.
Hi, boy.
This episode, Edmonton Community Foundation is helping us give a PodPower shout-out to Glass Bookshop Radio.
Glass Bookshop is where my sister Kimmy Beach has done a number of readings of her books, and she loves them. I'm not just saying that. She said that.
Yeah. Glass Bookshop. And Glass Bookshop Radio is the official podcast of Glass Bookshop. Founded by Jason Purcell and Matthew Stepanek, Glass Bookshop is an independent bookseller in Edmonton, Alberta that focuses on Canadian writing with special attention to LGBTQ2S+ and BIPOC writers and the independent publishers who help to produce their work.
Independent publishers, thank you. I'm just saying, I love them more than you, son.
It's not a competition, mother.
It is.
Tune into Glass Bookshop Radio for interviews with their favorite writers, publishers, and readers. And to listen and read more, you can head to glassbookshopradio.com.
Thanks, Glass Bookshop. Thank you.
I can't hear the ads ending.
Thank you. Thanks, Glass Bookshop. Thanks.
Tell me your dreams over bacon and eggs. We'll share a laugh and a story and even a wish on the breakfast dish. Bop, bop.
Everybody, welcome, welcome, good morning, welcome to the 64th episode.
There's been a few times that we've started an episode, and it's almost like we've kind of interrupted you on, like, it's like you're the guy in the study in a recliner being like, hi there. Oh, hi there. I didn't see you come in there. Hello, welcome. Yes, hi, welcome. Sorry, just reading my favorite John Grisham novel.
Okay, I'll do that. Why, hello. What a surprise. How nice to see you.
What are you doing in my house?
I should probably put some pants on.
Oh, God. And what's the novel you're reading? Before, let me veer away from that.
Actually, the novel I'm reading is The Art of Fake News, Orson Welles' War of the Worlds and Broadcast Hysteria.
Wow, awesome.
Are you actually reading those two things?
I'm actually reading that thing because on my other podcast, Scam Time, Steffi and I talked about the reaction to the War of the Worlds that is so famous that everyone says everyone thought it was real and there was all this hoo-ha. That's kind of the hoax about it. There wasn't really a huge reaction to it. So I learned lots more about War of the Worlds doing that podcast, which made me want to read this book, Broadcast Hysteria, Orson Welles, War of the World, and the Art of Fake News by Brad Schwartz.
And sorry, when you say War of the Worlds, do you mean like that's what the Tom Cruise movie was adapted from?
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great.
Okay, just a second, everybody. I'm Karen Johnson Diamond. I haven't said that yet. I am the mother of my co-host, whose name is Griffin Cork. He is my son.
And
is...
With that tone of voice, I'm about to be reprimanded.
No. I'm reprimanding myself now. I'm reprimanding myself. You are 25, and I have not yet filled you in on the original War of the Worlds story.
I saw the movie. Dad showed me the movie. You did it.
No, you got to listen to the radio broadcast. And also, I am going to reprimand you because if you actually listened to my other podcast, you would know this story. How much do you love me, son?
Interesting. What episode of my D&D podcast are you on?
Six.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So
how many episodes are there?
24. Yeah. So you know, maybe let's not use the weapons of mutual mass destruction here.
Okay, well, let's just plug your podcast, Diaz Cast D&D podcast.
We've never done it. I've never revealed on Breakfast Dish that I'm a nerd. It's never happened. The Diaz Cast, using Cobalt Press's material. Check it out. It's another nepotistic podcast I have with my father.
Nepotism, nepotism, nepotism. I just wrote that song.
Oh, God.
Nepotism for everybody.
Yes! We're going to talk about your nepotism, Gabriel Covarrubias.
Yeah!
Any nepotism that happens to be in your family as well, because you are our guest today on The Breakfast Dish. Welcome, Gabriel.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Karen, for those who don't know, and for Gabrielle, tell them what we do on The Breakfast Dish.
Oh, I haven't done that. Okay. On The Breakfast Dish, we talk to people we feel like talking to, because 10 years ago, I used to go to breakfast with people and take pictures of them and put them on Facebook and tell people about them. And then it was stay away from each other times, and I couldn't do that anymore. So now you and I host this podcast so that we can talk about any art that's happening in Alberta, but also more focused on the people who are creating any art in Alberta. How's that, boy?
It's good. We've done outside of Alberta. We've dipped our toes outside. In Toronto. Sometimes.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I'm not from Alberta. I'm from elsewhere, but I'm in Alberta right now.
So, there you go.
Okay, start off. Yeah. Tell me where you're from.
Well, first of all, my pronouns are he, him, his. And I am from Mexico City, Mexico. And I've been living in Canada for 4.5 years now. Yes. And I live in Vancouver, but right now I'm here in Treaty 6 territory, a.k.a. Edmonton, here doing a play, Peter Pan Goes Wrong, at the Citadel Theater.
Yay!
Which Karen is the assistant director
what?
Of.
Cut that sound out I just made.
No, we're going to keep it in. Yeah. I wish we could talk to Karen, but it sounds like Kermit the Frog is here on the podcast with us. Anyways.
I'm really happy working on Peter Pan Goes Wrong. Hi-ho!
Oh, sorry. That's the...
That wasn't
Can okay. I be Miss Piggy? Because I love Miss Piggy.
Okay.
Can I be
Miss Piggy? Okay, now we're going to do this interview. I'm Kermit the Frog. You're Miss Piggy. And Griffin, you're Beaker.
I don't want to be Beaker.
Who do you want to be?
Okay, well, I'll be Professor Honeydew? Dr. Honeydew?
That's the one who talks. Beaker is just the beep beep guy.
Me, me, me,
yeah.
Me, me,
me. And, you know, for the good of the podcast, I was hoping I could talk, if that's fine with you, Karen.
All right. Kermit the Frog here.
Okay, this is actually better than what you did previously.
Thank you. Miss Piggy is on our podcast today. Miss Piggy, yeah! Welcome, Miss Piggy!
I blocked my head. I don't know how Piggy sounds in English, unfortunately. Like, I have the voice of Miss Piggy in my mind in Spanish when she just
Okay,
yells.
Well...
I want to hear the Spanish Miss Piggy.
I know that the Muppets baby Miss Piggy's, like, because Kermit in Spanish, for whatever reason, is called René. It's like, Renecita! Renecita! So it's like, literally, like, just like piercing screaming, just like, ah! But that's the Muppets baby Miss Piggy.
Right. That's young Miss Spanish Piggy.
That's baby Miss Piggy. Baby Spanish speaking Miss Piggy. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
That's not too far from the English one.
No, it's not.
But for whatever reason, I forgot how Piggy sounds. In English. And I know that it's Frank Oz. It's iconic, but...
I can't do Piggy either.
Because she's just so always like this. Like, there's no understakes with Miss Piggy. I love her. My favorite.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Dr. Honeydew. Beaker, get out of here with that lab equipment. It's time to go lift weights.
Good God.
I also love Beaker.
Okay, now, Griffin, you're not in this podcast anymore. It's just Gabrielle and I. I'll just do the whole podcast as Beaker. Ready? I'll ask you the first question. Me, 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 me. Okay, Griffin, you can come back now. I'm bored of that.
Talk about the play you're doing.
Okay.
Talk about the play you're doing, because we might get sued by the Jim Henson Company.
No, they're too expensive. They owned by Disney. We cannot afford a lawsuit.
We can't. Speaking of Disney, Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. This amazing format has been sold by Mischief Theater globally, and it's such a hilarious story, a hilarious way of telling this iconic story by J.M. Barrie within the universe of the Cornell Polytechnic Drama Society. It's really, really fun to do a meta show. And I play one of the Cornley crew people. I'm the male Cornley crew. But the really, really sweet thing about it is that you name your Cornley crew. And I named my Cornley crew Louis because it's a little wink to Henry Lewis, one of the writers of Peter Pan Goes Wrong and creator.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't think Adam even knows that. I'll tell him later. And because it's also a little wink to an actress and singer-songwriter from Mexico called Dana Paola, who has a very, very iconic character from this Spanish Netflix, kind of like the Riverdale / Euphoria Spanish counterpart. And she plays a Mexican going to school in Spain in this high school where, you know, everybody is a supermodel, but they're in high school.
Right. Yeah, I know the type.
Yes, exactly. And her character's name is Lucrecia, but her nickname is Lou, L-U, basically. So I said Louie, and also because Louie's one of the three siblings from Donald Duck, and they're always like a little crew. So that's the like the three reasons of like...
You've really layered this name choice.
Yes, I am one of those.
I love it. If you had to ask me where Huey, Dewey, and Louie fit into Peter Pan Goes Wrong, I wouldn't be able to tell you, but now I know.
Yeah, because they're also like little lost boys, if you think about it. Little lost kids.
Yeah. Whoa. Uh-huh.
There's so many connections.
It all comes back to DuckTales.
Also the part about Donald Duck not wearing pants. Because there's times in the play where people aren't wearing pants.
And many gags and jokes from the show does feel like DuckTales.
Have you guys watched the new DuckTales with Ben Schwartz, Danny Pudi?
No, Ben Schwartz is one of the voices?
Yeah, I think he's Huey. Cool. Ben Schwartz and Danny Pudi are two out of the three brothers.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a new DuckTales series. They've revamped it.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm just trying to introduce some pop culture elements into our arts podcast. And you know.
So listen, our director, Adam Megiddo from the UK, who is...
What a fantastic human being, hey? What a creative superpower for sure. Master of comedy, my lord.
He's incredible. And that's his sort of push, right, is name your own character, create your own character. That he recognizes that the show has happened in other countries and with other casts. He calls it a replica show, but it has to feel very personal to the people in it. So talk about the improvs that you've been doing in rehearsal, please.
Oh, there's so much fun because it's a delight because you go to the basic foundation of improv, right? That it's say yes to everything, say yes to what your partner is giving to you. But also, I think with this play specifically, active listening is extremely important when it comes to developing and creating these characters. And one huge learning lesson from me throughout this whole process is that you don't have to put extra stuff on it. If you listen, if you look, if you witness with the exact right amount of it, then the magic happens. Because it's so beautifully written, what Henry Lewis and Jonathan Sayer and Henry Shields have given to you with the base of the script, then with the improvs, you can literally expand and give further life. And we had the craziest run on Thursday for a tech dress that we were actually our characters for the entire half hour before Karen, we started, and then we went and do the show in character, then intermission as our characters, and then like 5 to 10 minutes later after we were done, we were still in character, and oh my goodness, what a ride. What a wild, wild ride. But so, so, so much fun, and everybody's just doing an amazing job from Alexander Brin to Oscar Dirks to Alexander Ariete to Belinda Cornish, April Bannigan, Andrew McDonald Smith, Chris Cochran, Sebastian Kroon, Camille Legg, who deserves to be in SNL, oh my lord, and and our wonderful Jamie Cavanaugh and Rochelle LaPlante, who plays Lucy, who's so, 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 so adorable, and our wonderful Saint Andrew Cowden, who's understudying so many parts, I don't know how he's not going insane. And I'm also understudying Dennis, who's played by Alexander Ariete, and Max, played by Oscar Dirks.
Wow.
And I'm understudying Camille as well. They are understudying three different characters as well.
Whew.
Right? I want to know. I have never understudied ever in my life. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about this a lot in Alberta, is that it's a pretty new thing to non-musicals to have understudies. Like I've been in so many straight plays, never an understudy. There's somebody flown in if there's an emergency or something, like we just sort of step someone in. Or if someone on stage is like, my wife's going to have a baby in 6 minutes, we better have an understudy for you, that sort of thing. So I don't know the experience of being an understudy, and I want to know what it's like from your point of view.
It's my first time as well. It's my first time. I never did it in Mexico. There's really, the concept of understudy is not a thing in Mexico. If you need someone else, unless it's a really, really important figure in the Mexican spectacle scene, they might have an understudy, but it's something that is very rare. you do a show and you need to replace someone, you replace. You don't understudy.
Okay.
The understudy, I've only seen it once in an Othello. It's the only time that I've seen the concept of understudy actually being displayed on a playbill in Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was because the women who played Desdemona and Emilia were huge Mexican film, TV, theater stars that they had to have an understudy because of stuff that they were doing while rehearsing and staging Othello. So, yes, I think it's the only time. It's been a while, right? Because I have to learn my track and three other different tracks, blocking tracks, lines, actions, technicalities, stunts. Karen can also talk about this. It's just the amount of stunts and amount of precision and technicality that the show requires is also very important because it is a show that is quite potentially dangerous. So you have to be right there, present, active listening again, and be really, really focused on what you're doing because if not, people can get hurt or people can get sick. You know,
knock,
kind of stuff.
So you have your own track and then you are understudying other people's tracks. So if you have to go in as an understudy on somebody else's track, is somebody understudying your track, your main track?
Yes.
Andrew Camden is understudying my track if I have to go.
And does Andrew have his own track?
Andrew, no.
Okay, so Andrew's pure understudy.
Yeah, but five different things.
Oh my God.
Right?
I'm four. Camille is also four. And Rochelle is the only one that's just adding one more track to her own.
Yeah, that's nuts. Wow.
And that's the thing. Gabrielle is in a very technically, like, I don't want to give anything away because I can't wait for people to see
come
the show.
Come see the show.
But it's a technical nightmare scene in a good way. And Gabrielle has his own track. And there's so many, like, you have to be standing in exactly the right spot and do this exact thing on this line or the technical thing won't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Gabrielle has to go in for Oscar or Alex, he has to know their exact spots where they were and how they moved their body and on what line they moved their body.
So were you performing before you came to Vancouver?
Yes, I always knew that I wanted to be an actor ever since I saw Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
Whoa, okay.
Yes, wow. I was like 4 years old when I saw that movie. So that movie came out in 1990 and I was born in 91.
Mm.
And I just remember like being enamored by those two movies. I was like, I gotta be this kid. That was the first time that I was like, I want to be Kevin McAllister. and films were always important, but then I didn't know that actors formation was mostly on a theater basis. So after high school, I was like, I did tell my parents, I do want to do this. I do want to go to acting school. And I got into one of the most prestigious programs in the country, fortunately, which is also a 3-year acting program, like Studio 58. And I graduated from that program in 2013. So I was 21, almost 22 when I graduated from that program. I learned a lot. It was also a pre-Time's Up, pre-Me Too environment still. So there are things that I look back upon that it's extremely problematic. Then I was a little bit disenchanted with acting and, you know, just lost in life. Like, all our paths, we go into a crossroads and we don't know where to go. That's a human thing. And the opportunity to come to Canada was basically just out of coincidence of one of my mom's friends who was vacationing here in Mexico because she immigrated to Canada in the early 2000s and she was working at Glengarry College as the head of one of the departments there. So all the heads of the departments had meetings and then there's Studio 58 in Glengarry College in Vancouver. So my parents were like, go back to school. You never know what could happen. Canada wasn't in my plans at all. Like, the three countries at that point in my life that were in my mind would be Argentina, Spain, the south of Spain specifically, and Australia. But I made the decision to try and audition for the program in the summer of 2016. I auditioned for it in the spring of 2017, and then I was there in school in the fall of 2017 and unfortunately graduated in the spring of 2020 when the pandemic happened.
So, ah.
But I was also in a more mature, like, I finished my first acting program when I was 21 going to 22. I finished this when I was 28 going to 29. So it's a totally different experience. However, it was extremely frustrating not to have the ending that I've seen for 2 years before me.
Yeah.
And also the fact that I'm still a person migrating to another country and not having things that they are supposed to fall into place. That's also something that has been quite interesting with the pandemic overall. But I'm just delighted that this opportunity came in October. And it was really funny because I was in Mexico because I went to Mexico to renew a piece of plastic because my Mexican bank said that they couldn't ship a debit card.
Oh, no.
So I had to go to Mexico and renew this piece of plastic. And I was just there for a week before Omicron was announced. Thank goodness I went and came back before Omicron, thankfully. And didn't get COVID, of course, when I was there. And I got the email on my first day back home. I was having lunch with my parents and an aunt who was visiting the house. And it was just like, wow, it's just magic. And this show is magic. So everybody come see it. Come see it, all the listeners from Karen and Griffin.
And if you can't see it in Edmonton, which you might have a hard time doing because it's pretty sold out. However, I believe as of March 1st, they can open up a few more seats. But if you can't see it in Edmonton, then when can they see it as it moves to Vancouver to the Arts Club? Because it's a co-pro traveling show.
Exactly. It's a co-production between Citadel Theatre in Edmonton and Arts Club in Vancouver. So we start previews in Vancouver, if I'm not mistaken, on September 8th of the current year. And we officially open on the 14th of September, and we run the show until October 16 in Vancouver at the Stanley Theater.
Every once in a while, I call my dad in Abbotsford and say, like, he's not a huge theater goer, but if I recommend something or if I'm in BC doing a show, he'll come see it. But this one, I'm like, Dad, you just go. You have to. I can't think of one person in my life that I would think it wasn't for. Like all the people in theater, all the people outside of theater, there's not anyone that I can think of that would not like this show. There's so much of the humor is just perfectly geared towards all of us universally, no matter your age.
But also what you're saying to build upon that, I think Peter Pan is the story of a human being that wants to be a child forever. And with talking about my story, I see it with what inspired me to become an actor. An iconic child figure, Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. Mm. And I think what Peter Pan brings people is to keep that child alive. Keep believing in fairies and pirates and mermaids and hope, especially right now with what's going on in the world. Not just the pandemic, what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in still in the Middle East, what's happening in Africa, all the stuff that's happening in the world, that's horrible. It's hope. And I just, when I hear the people laugh with this particular show, I hear that hope and that inner child floating around like Peter Pan, you know?
It's exactly right. 500 people that are 5 years old as they walk out of the theater.
All right. Exactly. Well, speaking of your inner child, I got to know what right now, without giving anything away, would you say is your favorite improvised moment? Is that I'm asking and I'm realizing that might be giving something away. You two need to decide if there's one you can tell us.
We should clarify the improv doesn't really come on stage, but because this play is performed by people who belong to a theater group, Adam has them do improv in the rehearsal hall to figure out who they like better, who has the most status, so that that bleeds into the show when something goes wrong, who's blaming who, et cetera. Does that make
perfect
sense?
Then no fear of spoilers, but now I do want to hear. What was the moment in the improv you went, oh yeah, like, ooh, click, we got it?
I think one of my favorite ones was our second to last improv, and there's a character beautifully played by Belinda Cornish named Annie. And Annie is just going through a really, really tough time personally. That's what Belinda chose to do. And I decided to, you know, just put a little bit of extra sugar in the tea. I decided to have somebody from the box office telling Louis that Annie's ex-husband was coming to the show. And Annie... And Annie's just chaos when you mention that ex-husband to her. So it was just, I told Camille Lex character Denise, and then Denise told Annie, and it was just like this moment of like everybody was just like frozen into what happened, because Annie, Belinda just perfectly just like pour down. It was just so beautiful. I was like fanning her air with a notebook that I had. Just so funny. And that was something beautiful, because Belinda immediately said yes. So that's the beautiful thing about improv. And Camille as well. They both said yes.
Is the idea of kind of staying in character like quote-unquote before the show or intermission or that little moment after the show, is that something new for you, or is that something you've done before in a room?
I've done before that in a room, definitely. I had I wouldn't qualify him as my favorite teacher back home, but he definitely taught me a lot about improvisation. And I've had that before. And I've done that sort of thing before at Studio 58 with Wendy Gorling, and it was one of my favorite things doing with Wendy Gorling. And it was just so rich to, you know, have it. I remember that it was an exercise of people that we observed and created characters in our class, created characters from those people that we observed, and we had like this condo meeting. And it was just hilarious, and so much fun. And Wendy was directing us, so she was really, really like telling us like, yes, you do. And remember to say yes and blah, blah. So, but it was so much fun to do. I love that. I really love that. And I do go into it a lot. So it's just so much fun.
That's actually how I met Adam.
Oh, really?
10 or 11 years ago, Dynasty, which is the long running improvised soap opera in Edmonton, which Belinda is actually a cast member of. Adam was in town for their soapathon, which is a 52-hour solid, like extended 52 hours of improv. And you try to stay awake through the whole thing. And Adam and a couple of other performers, improvisers from the UK, had flown in. And so I was improvising with Adam for that whole weekend. And half of it, I was half asleep on stage. But I just remember he was so sweet and so generous. And I had so much fun. So yeah, improv is a unifying, fabulous thing. You know what else is unifying? Here's my segue. Dreaming is unifying. So this is a segment that I've put into the show. Thank you, Griffin. Because Alex Kalman, who has written our intro and outro music, sings Tell Me Your Dreams over Bacon and Eggs, I've been asking all of our guests what the weirdest dream you ever had was in your life. Like, if you remember it from a kid or just from last week, but you woke up in the morning and went, that is the weirdest thing, or some dream that has stuck with you and you've never been able to let go of. But you can also talk about, in your life, I dream this for myself.
I honestly would love to be a mer person, like actually being an actual mer person. Like, I just find that world fascinating. It's scary for some people because it's like, it's unknown. It's a alien environment. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's the opposite of the Little Mermaid, you know? I want to be part of that world. Yeah. But a life, I think at some point in my life, I would really love to do social work. Like, just beyond volunteering and stuff. I would really, really love to do social work.
My heart just felt better for the world at the thought of you being part of social healing in the world. That I just felt, I feel so much better now about the future.
Speaking of the future, I'm going to predict the future, and I'm about to give a plug for the Alberta Podcast Network. Are you ready?
You aren't. You can't predict the future.
The Breakfast Dish is part of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. The intro music you just heard and the outro music you're about to hear has been composed by Alexandra Kalman. All graphic design for The Breakfast Dish has been done by Morgan Armter. Karen, what's going on this week?
Coming up on Tuesday, March 15th, 6 p.m. at the Starlight Room in Edmonton, and we have spoken to the owners of the Starlight Room. This is 10030 102nd Street Northwest is the band Obscura. Tuesday, March 15th, 6 p.m. at the Starlight Room. $25. You have to be 18 and up.
Gabrielle, thank you very much for joining us on The Breakfast Dish.
Thank you so much for having me, to the both of you. This was just so beautiful and lovely.
Yay.
We have one more segment we like to incorporate as we wrap up the show, is that, as you know, and as we've been chatting about, Karen is a professional improviser, and it sounds like you do quite a bit of improvising yourself. So Karen is going to ask you a question that we did not plan. We have maybe only tenuous ties to what we've been talking about, but it's going to be off the top of her head. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
You named your character Louis. What would you name your Mer character, and what would be the world they lived in? What would it be called?
It can't be Obscura.
Oh, wow.
This might be hard now, knowing how much work you put into thinking up Louis.
I would definitely, I don't know what, I think the kingdom would be in the Atlantic Ocean, definitely, somewhere around there. I think, I don't, oh, a name, wow. I'm just tripping and tripping and tripping. I think, honestly, it would be like Dino or Kylo or something like that. Kind of like Kylo Ren, but yeah, the kingdom would be, I don't know why I'm thinking Fantasia. I'm being too Disney, I think, but.
Fantasia would be good.
Yeah.
Especially in underwater Fantasia.
Kylo the merperson in underwater Fantasia in the Atlantic Ocean. That is it. That's all there is.
And Karen, to close out this episode, if you could just sing a few bars from one of Kylo's original songs, that would be great.
Oh, yeah. look at this stuff. Isn't it wet? I can't even know what it's called yet. Part of that world.
And, oh, interesting. We do have to go because we're sued. It goes to some lawyers at my doors and we're sued.
The Disney people are suing.
All right. Well, see you next week.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye. Bye.
Get ready to take the guesswork out of choosing a school. Go to an Edmonton Public Schools virtual open house. Ask your questions to learn about their schools and programs and find the one that feels right. All from the comfort of home. Find virtual event dates and learn how to make the most out of your online visit at openhouse.epsb.ca. Know before you go and feel confident and excited when you get there.
This has been The Breakfast Dish.